Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. All right. We got Chaplain John Durkin. Good evening at Blog Talk Radio. We're going to give the mic to Chaplain John Durkin. This is going to be breaking and teaching. He has 1 hour and 30 minutes to bring the word, or extra 10 minutes if you need it. And there will not be any questions and answers. He's going to bring the word and say amen, and we'll see him next Thursday. Without further interruption, Chaplain John Durkin.
Good evening, beloved of the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. It's nice to be with you again. For those who don't know me, Chaplain John Durkin, retired for about 2 years now. Before I became a chaplain, with respect to my education, I have a master's in personnel administration, where I was a personnel officer for the Department of the Army for 30 years. What that did was hired federal employees, all those federal employees who work on military bases, Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marines. And then when I retired from the federal government after 30 years of hiring federal employees, God called me to the ministry. And so I said, wow, here I am, like 48 years old. I said, okay, so I had to go to evening classes for the last 2 years of my college degree, working on my master's in personnel administration. But I went to evening classes, and for 3 years I attended, and during those 3 years I obtained two master's degrees, one in counseling, Christian counseling, the other one is in theology. And as a result of my theology master's degree, I worked at the hospital as a chaplain for 20 years. So I was a human resources director for 30 and a chaplain for 20 years. And I've been retired now like 2 years. To age, I just turned 80. 80 years old. I thought I'd be retired just chilling, but the Lord got plans for each one of us. The Lord had told several different people, ministers, men of God. He told them personally, and each one didn't know what the other knew. Some called long distance, and some just said, sir, I know you don't know me, but I got to say what the Lord tell me. And they all told me, my last day on earth is when I'm 97 years old. So I said, Lord, I'm 80 years old. But I, you know, when somebody prophesied to you, you're supposed to get a confirmation, not just one, three confirmation. I say, you know, that gentleman who normally told me, I'm going to live till I'm 97, Lord. If that's true, give me a confirmation, because I'm not going out. If you tell me I'm going to be the king of the world, I'm still going to ask for a confirmation. So God gave me three confirmations. One, when I was doing what I'm doing now, talking, and the minister jumped in and said, Brother John, I don't know you, but the Lord told me that you're not going to die until you're 97. And I said, okay. And I said, thank you. And then I behind his back, I said, Lord, you got to give me a confirmation on that. And then I may be doing ministry on the telephone, and somebody would jump in and say, Mr. Durden, you don't know me, but the Lord told me to tell me the same thing. I got three confirmations that I was going to live to 97. But I don't know why, but right now you got me teaching, so I'll do that till I learn otherwise. But I want us to go in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth, I just pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge this evening. And I need wisdom and understanding. And Father God, I pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who I'm going to be teaching about tonight, because my sermon is, not sermon, but my teaching is going to be on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you empower me to teach your word with clarity, simplification, and boldness, especially it's going to be about you. And may our minds, and talking about the listeners, Holy Spirit, be alert and clear, that our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of truth, that's you again, you're the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, move in such power and every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, I pray that your words will bring salvation, will bring healing and deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. And it's in the mighty name of your divine Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Redeemer, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay, I'm going to share some scriptures. I got about like four of them. And it's all dealing with the Holy Spirit, since that's our subject for tonight. The first one comes from John, the Gospel of John. Okay, the Gospel of John. 14th chapter. It says this, and it's subtitled on this page. It says, the role of the Spirit. So the Word of God, looking at my Bible here, says, I will ask the Father, this is Jesus talking, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Verse 17 says, that is the Spirit of truth, Jesus still talking, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, nor know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. He was talking to disciples. He abides with them because we all know that when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that is when and only when the Holy take possession of us, and we are known as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me see. Another one he gave me, John, the 16th chapter, verses 7 and 8. And it reads this. The subtitle is called The Holy Spirit Promise. That's Jesus promising that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to take his place when he departs. Verse 7 says, But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And verse 8 says, and he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and then it says, and it, because a lot of people tell me the Holy Spirit is a it. The Holy Spirit is a he. And Jesus says, and he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And the next verse the Holy Spirit, gave me comes from, let's see, Romans chapter 8. Let me turn to Romans. Okay, Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. And it reads, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Because you got a lot of ministers, a lot of people, and everybody is being led by their flesh, not by the Spirit of God. You need to be led by the Spirit of God when it comes to our sermons, when it comes to our ministry, when we come to visit the sick and the shut-in, whatever. We always supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, not by, well, let me see what I'm going to say. Let me do this, and let me put on this, and let me do this, and let me give the Holy Spirit some opportunities. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's verse 14. Verse 16 says this, the Spirit himself, not the Spirit it, the Spirit himself testifies that our spirit, with our spirit, that we are children of God. We're the children of God. And let's see, one other, Holy Spirit. Okay. This is chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 26 says this. In the same way, the Spirit of God also helps our weaknesses. And we do not know how to pray as we should, but guess what? The Holy Spirit himself will intercede for us with groanings too deep for words. In verse 27 says, and he, speaking about the Holy Spirit, who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He knows our spirit because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God calls all things to work together for good of those that love God and who are called for his purpose. Let me see. Do you have another one? Yes, I got. He gave me Acts 13. All right, let me go back down to Acts 13. Acts 13 says this, Acts 13, verse 2. While they were talking about the first missionary journey, Jesus got his apostles going around ministering to the people and to the community. Well, this is what he says. While they were ministering to the Lord, they was all just worshiping God and everything else. And guess what? The Holy Spirit jumped in. Back. You can have a little session. You and the deacons or you and the other pastors and friends can be in your study and be praying. And then guess what? The Holy Spirit jumped in and says, while they were ministering to the Lord, now praise your Lord, thanking you, fasting and everything else. The word says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. That's another proof that the Holy Spirit called us into the ministry. Unfortunately, there are a lot of men call themselves into as ministers. I think I want to be a preacher. That's what I'm going to do. That's right. Because that's how I'm that person. That's why you want to be a preacher. Well, I have my own congregation. And I'll be the boss. I'm the boss. And I don't have to get no other job because I don't need that crap. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. And I got to ask them when I can have the day off. But in church, I am the man. I am the boss. I said, yeah, okay, all right. Check you later, buddy. Then the last one, 1 Corinthians. Because there's a lot of a lot of men personally I met who were called of themselves. All right, 1 Corinthians, the last verse. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. You can go to 12, chapter 12. Okay, 12, verses 4. Oh, this one here, I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is about the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's part of his responsibility to give preachers and deacons and believers the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, start off like this, because I'm not going to read the whole thing. It says, the use of spiritual gifts, that's tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and these kinds of things. Like if you're a pastor and you walk in the righteous life, the Holy Spirit would drop those gifts on you like you don't know what happened. You have the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of miracles, a prophecy. You get to preach, and you'd be able to preach, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit say, hold up, there's something else I want to say. He did it to all of us. And before you know it, he changed your whole sermon. You have to be, okay, Lord, and stuff just be coming to your mind, just coming to your mind, you know. And so I say, well, praise the Lord. And he'll tell you, call out sister so-and-so. She just been told that she has breast cancer or something like that or whatever it is. But he would tell you what to say, and you'll say, sister so-and-so, would you come up front, please? And then all of a sudden, your sermon go to helping. Your sermon go from praying a healing prayer, and the person's here right in front of you. The person feel a lump in their chest. And then when the pastor get through praying for them, another woman walk up there and touch the person's breast, find out that lump that they felt prior to the prayer is gone, kind of a thing. So he gives some people the gift of miracles. He gives some people the gift of faith. Say, you know, I'm going up there and pray for that man. I believe he's going to be healed. See, you look like a fool, idiot. You don't go up there and talk about it. You going up there. You know, that person may, the doctor probably can't nothing do for her or him anymore. Say, well, I just had the faith. The Lord just told me, say, All right, ignoramus, go ahead on up there. But the guy or woman being led by the Holy Spirit say, sister, come up here. The Lord said, he wants to pray for you. He said, church, everybody join hands. We're going to pray that this person that's stepping out of faith. But that's where the gift of faith comes in. Everybody don't have that kind of faith because you say, I ain't going to pray that man get healed. I look like a fool. I don't want to look like no fool. And so he said, okay, everybody hold it. And he says, in the name of Jesus and whatever that prayer is. And then, you come back, you go to your doctor tomorrow, go back tomorrow and come back and give the church report. Man, he goes to the doctor and they call back that night, wake up everybody and says, do you know I've been healed, that cancer is gone. He took another picture, a film of it, and it's gone. I don't have anything. So mm-hmm. he gives us all these different types of gifts. So I don't want to go into it because that'll take all night talking about what these different gifts do, but that's a part of the job. He ordained each one of his believers, not just pastors, but I'm talking about women, teenagers who really sold out to the Lord. And he got a gift for each one of them. Each one got their little special gift. Some people got more than one, and some people got, you know, two and three gifts. Okay. Like me, I was raised a Baptist for 20 years, and when I left home, I married a woman who was a Methodist. And so what happened? I was a Methodist. And when I moved to Atlanta, I married a Baptist woman, and I was a Baptist for 20 years. And, you know, and for all those years, I would just tell, we have his written word. We have his word. And so even when I was a Methodist, 27, we have his, we don't, tongues have ceased, and this don't happen no more, and so on, so on, so on. And then one day I was praying about it, and I said, Lord, how come I don't have a peace of mind? I've been raised in this Methodist church for 20 years, come up here and marry a Baptist woman. And this pastor is talking about, we have his written word, tongues, and Lord. I said, I just can't receive it. Then one evening, one night, the Lord finally spoke to me and said, the reason why is because it's error. I do minister the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. And said, go down to Savannah. I went down back home and went to my sister. She led me to her full gospel church, non-denominational. And the pastor said, I'm not going to argue with you. I said, they told me, he said, I know what they said. I was raised in that too, John, but I talked to the Lord. I quit talking to man. So the Lord wants you, he sees your heart, and he wants you to know the truth. So why don't you go down to the altar? He met me at his church. It was like about 9 o'clock at night, and my sister took me to the church. And the man says, first of all, you don't get nothing from the Lord if you're in sin. Are you screwing behind your wife back? Are you masturbating? Are you screwing some man? Are you lying? Are you shoplifting or anything? I said, no, sir. I ain't that stupid. I ain't going to hell over no women. I ain't going to hell over no faggot. I ain't going to hell for shoplifting. Are you crazy? He said, I hear you. I said, well, okay. He said, well, I'll know in a minute. And I tell you what, why don't you go down there and which one you want? I said, well, I thought I was going to trick the devil and trick the man. I said, I want tongues, you know, because I still had a little bit of hesitation about it. He said, go down there. He says, but you sure? You're not lying to me. Are you in sin, son? Are you doing some hanky-panky nobody can see? I said, no, sir. He said, okay, the Lord will tell me it's a lie. And guess what? He said, Lord told me you're telling the truth. So going down there and asking, well, what you want? I said, I thought I'm trick the pastor. I said, I want tongues. I didn't think I was going to get it. I said, I want tongues. Because for some reason, I just can't believe that. We have that word, and that's all. I went down there and said, he said, just thank him for it. He said, now remember, you're not lying to me, are you? You're not in sin. You ain't got no secrets. I said, no, sir. I wouldn't lie to you. So I said, I know Revelation 21:8 say even lies going to hell. So he said, go on down to the altar. And I did. And I said, Lord, I says, I believe tongues still exist. I wish you would bless me with it, because I understand that sometimes the Lord can speak to the congregation in tongues and he'll give somebody interpretation. I may need some help. I may be in a foreign city or country somewhere where the English is not dominant and I'm lost. I can speak in tongues. I said, that's what the pastor said. I said, he said, all right, go down there. I went down and said, Lord, I believe in all my heart. And he said, just thank him, John. You got it when you were born again and quit sinning. I said, thank you for the gift of tongues, Father God, in Jesus' name, I receive it. Soon as I receive it, I meant to say, and you know what else, Lord? I'm going to say, and you know what? Yes, 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 went to that church that they were going to and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those things are really true. So 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, talking about the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of tongues, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, and so forth. I don't have time to go into all that because I only got an hour and a half to go. But that's what 1 Corinthians 12 chapter talking about. Those gifts are still for us today. It's not for, we have his written word. And there's a lot of ministers, I don't even blame, because I was a minister and I said the same thing because that's what I was taught. Naturally, if you sit under a professor for 3 years and he told you he'd been teaching the gospel at the seminary for 30 years and we have his written word, no need for tongues, you won't believe the man. You won't believe the man sitting there for 30 years in school teaching a lie when he really believed it. There were some who believed and there were some who didn't, and the ones who say, okay, John, I'm going to take you to the chance. And I had a couple of minutes. I'm going with you. I'm going to see. And went right out there, and I said, first of all, before you go down there, tell the Lord you're sorry for all the sins that you committed. Okay. And he did it. Went down there, and the pastor, after preaching in this Baptist church, in this Methodist church for 15, 20 years, these church speaking in tongues, you know. But anyway, that's what they had. So I did my prayer. I read the scripture. Now I want to go in what I call my opening remarks for teaching. Here's what the Holy Spirit put in my heart. First of all, we must have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives in order for us to properly, what, accurately and precisely know the nature of the Holy Spirit, his ways, as well as be able to recognize the voice of God. And I want you to remember, it's the Holy Spirit be talking to you. And that was the hardest thing for me to learn because I thought, hey, John, I want you to do it. John, stop doing this, you know, kind of a thing. But, you know, he has a soft, sweet voice. And his job is to speak to us. And for us to speak to him, we can't have no sin on us, folks. You know, because in my younger days, if I get mad, I'll cuss your butt out. If I get mad or jealous about something, I wish them harm. If somebody do something to me, I wish they would die. And you used to say, if I wish people wouldn't go to jail, I'd kill that sucker. All these things, you know. And that was harboring bitterness and everything else. But the Holy Spirit straightened me out. He said, I'm telling you this, John, because if you harboring bitterness, resentment, and anger, and jealousy and all that, you'll never hear my voice. I am the Holy Spirit. And that's why when I go to bed every night, before I go to bed, I say, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, if I offended any one of you during the last 24 hours, I ask you to forgive me. Because I know your word in Revelation 21:8, you ain't no liar. The Holy Spirit inspired John to write the Revelation, Book of Revelation. And it says in Revelation 21:8 that even all liars, even a liar? You mean to tell me if a liar was in a cab going to a party and just so happened a preacher was in their car with him, somebody else with him, and a murderer was in the car with him, he was a killer going somewhere to kill somebody, and had an automobile accident, if that lie, if I just told one little lie and I never repented, now I lied like our President Trump, lie. If he was in a cab, and if he don't repent of all them lies, he tell him he can be in the cab with a child molester. Guess what? If he was if they're in the taxi cab and had a wreck and they both get killed, they both would go to hell. The liar who lied all his life about everything could never tell the truth, and the person who molests little children, they both butts would go to hell. That's what the Lord told me. I said, wow, even a liar. He said, nothing, my son, unrighteous would enter my kingdom. I know what everybody's doing. I know who's fornicating. I know who those are masturbating. I know those who's lying. I know who's shoplifting. I know those who are so-and-so. And he said, I got some more news for you. And I said, what, Lord? When you accept me as your personal Lord and Savior, you know what? You know what happened, right? I said, yeah, our body become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, you're so right. But guess what? The minute you mess around there and fornicate, masturbate, go to bed with somebody who's not your husband or your wife or your shoplift, or you take money out the offering plate, the Holy Spirit is gone. Holy Spirit is not in you. Your body is the temple. Do you hear me, my son? Yes, Lord. The temple is the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I said, my God. He said, that's right. Nothing righteous coming to heaven. I said, wow. So what I was saying is, in order for us to hear God and speak God's message, because sometimes he want to help you out in your sermon. You might be teaching. And the Lord may put some thoughts in your mind. Say, wow, Pastor, you were heavy. You were heavy today, Pastor. I ain't never heard you teach like that. And Pastor, my sister, I ain't never heard myself teach like that either. But see, the Holy Spirit inspires it. He can hear the Holy Spirit. He's being led by his flesh sometimes. Then he'd be led by the Holy Spirit. But the Lord want me to say, if I don't say nothing else, if you're doing something you ain't got no business doing, you can forget that about you being the temple of the Holy Spirit. You ain't no more temple. The temple ain't going to sit in your body while you have to hanky-panky with some man or some woman, same sex, or masturbating, or shoplifting, or wishing death on somebody. Holy Spirit gone. You're an empty vessel. You ain't got no more Holy Spirit. Come to the temple of the Holy Spirit. Another thing, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. The Holy Spirit is the most important person, y'all, to aid us in our spiritual walk, our journey, our calling, our ministry, and our life. Ain't nothing like having the Holy Spirit to be your counselor. Because that's what he is. That's what the Bible says. He is our counselor. And he would help you prepare your sermons. He may prepare the whole thing for you. And sometimes he may say, no, you ain't right. And just get up there, huh? That tickled me. That tickled me too. Brother Emmett tickled me on that one. Brother John, I don't even have the slightest idea what I'm going to say. I said, man, they waiting on you. Got about 40, 50, 60 people out there waiting on you. You don't know what you're going to talk about? No. He told me he's going to give it to me. I said, okay. He said, let's pray. So we go, and then he said, oh, my God. And now our pastor, Brother Emmett Overton, you know, and Emmett will get up there, and then he'll look at me and say, I got it. And he float. You would think he got 5 doctor degrees because the Holy Spirit is telling him what to say. It's the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey, our calling, our ministry. Who called you into that ministry? Did the Lord call you? Or did you call yourself? Say, I can be a big shot. I don't have to go to a job with somebody else, the boss kind of a thing. And then I have to, boss kind of have the day off. Well, if I got my own church, I can stay off when I want to stay off. And I'm the man kind of a thing. It's like, so some ministers call themselves and some don't. The one who call themselves, you can tell the difference. It's like when they call us and threaten Brother Emin and I, and we like say something in our teaching or whatever, and they don't like it, they call us the first time. I'm coming down to the ball jack. You don't know tongue. It ain't no tongues. It ain't no this. I'm coming to ball jack. You can shut you up. And I didn't know. I had to ask Brother Emin. I said, what does ball jack mean? He said, that means he's coming down here to take his little TT out and ram it up your butt. And I go, what? You talking about homosexual thing? He said, yeah. And 90, and I'm not lying, y'all, may God strike me down dead if I'm lying now. Do you know I have a 70 to 80 ministers who be threatening me and Brother Emmett because we be talking about tongues and all that. Haven't you heard tongue has ceased? I said, tongue has not ceased. Read the Bible. Look at verse 13, chapter 13, verses 8, 9, and 10. That's what that says. It says, tongue has ceased. I said, no, you're looking at it wrong. Look at it again. Tongue has, I said, you can't read. What does that say? Does that say has or will? That said will. I said, sir, you need to know the difference between the past, present, and future tense. Tongues will. And one in King James Version, the New King James Version, it says tongue shall. Both are present tense, sir. Ten, it says, when that which is perfect comes, that's when it'll stop, because he won't need tongues no more, because he be in our presence. He be with us. He be teaching us. He be telling us what to say. He be teaching us personally. And he can speak to every mankind in their own tongues. So he have us speaking in tongues, because that's when the Holy Spirit take over. Because God may want to say something, and you can't think of it in a million years. So you go, and guess what? And God will give two people, not one, two. Because the one said, the Lord says this. I'm going to give an interpretation. If that joke is lying, the other person said, you lying. You're trying to make yourself look big. Dang what the Holy Spirit just said to the pastor. He said so and so and so. So God will give two people interpretation. He will give the pastor. Sometimes a believer might be the janitor or the choir director, somebody. God bless that person. And the person be scared to go back and tell the pastor, they're going to kick me out of that church. Brother Johnny, find out I can speak in tongues. That's what, maybe you need to find another church. Because God wants you to have everything he has to offer. You don't have to be scared. Sometimes we have deacons. Sometimes we have pastors, sister pastors. I'll lose my church. I say, just asking for one. But don't you say anything. Tell you what you do. You just keep on praying about it. Keep on going to church. And wait till the Lord tell you, leave. Don't quit because they hate you now, because they know you speak and they tell you. Here come the Baptist Costco. He's Pentecostal. Here come the Baptist. I said, but you say one word because they can't receive it. And them deacons will gang up and you kick your butt out of church before you even know it. I didn't know that. I said, that's happened. We've seen a lot of it to happen. Because God trying to do what God said, hey, you did it too fast. You move when the Lord tell you to move. He would give, I said, tell me this. Is that the only job you got? He said, no, I'm a retired military officer. I said, what? I said, well, you can go whenever you're ready. Because if you leave and tell the deacon and all them, say, all right, y'all want to kick me out because I speak your tongue now, bye. I said, God will give you. And he gave you the tongue, didn't he? Yes, sir. Well, he got a place for you, you see. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is the one that gives out our calling to us, our ministry, and it's his intention briefly to communicate the role and the functions and the need to tell you all about his function and everything else. And that's what I'm here to talk about tonight. It's called the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm getting excited, and I think the Holy Spirit tell me I'm going a little bit too fast, so let me slow down. Because I start going like a machine gun when I get excited, so let me slow down. Another thing, the Holy Spirit possesses a speaking nature, y'all, to communicate through the believer. If God want to say something to the church member that you had no idea what to say, or you didn't say enough, or there's something he want you to say, well, what he'll do, he will come to you, especially if you're a godly man, and he will speak to your thoughts. And I want you to remember this. Every thought that comes into your mind is not necessarily yours. That was my weakest point. I thought because I thought it and I thunk it, I thought it was me. But the mind is the battlefield. That's where Satan fights. You know, like we were fighting the Russians and the Germans and the Germans and the Japanese, all that. We always fought on their land. They never came over here, you know, kind of a thing. Well, the devil, that's his field of play. He gives us thoughts. So I want you, if you don't remember anything else I said tonight, just because you're thinking it, that don't mean it's your thought. Your thoughts come from three ways. Either the devil is tempting you, say, well, look at that handsome man. Look at that fine woman. I sure want some of that. Look at all that money, man. Hey, man, I want to do a little hustle inside. How you mean all that kind of stuff? That kind of thing, see? So need to remember that the thought, I tell you how you can tell. When a thought comes into your mind, I wonder who that talking. I wonder if that's the Lord or that's my spirit or that's the world. The world or me or the Lord. If you know the word of God, you would know right off. Because as soon as that thought comes, you're talking about, ain't she fine, ain't he fine? I sure wish I wasn't married. I sure wish I was single. I sure wish I was this and I sure wish I was that. That's not the Holy Spirit, buddy. That's the devil wants you to slip on over there and do some hanky-panky And then you go home from your hanky-panky and die in an automobile accident, and guess what? That angel come into that car and said, come on, let me take you to Jesus. And you say, oh, God. You look back in the car and see your body laying over the steering wheel dead. And then you got to go stand for Jesus. He said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. I died for you. I was crucified for you. I asked my Father to take this away from me. But I love my Father, and I'm obedient to my Father. I asked him three times to take me away from this potential punishment. They're going to put them spikes in my foot and my hand and then slice my meat all out with a whip. I didn't want to go through that, but I did it because my Father said that's the way they can make it to heaven, because I have to take their place, because a lot of them are in all kinds of sin, don't care about the word and everything. And through my death, they have a chance of being born again and have a chance to go to heaven. The Holy Spirit possesses speaking nature to communicate through the believer. So the pastor get there and they say, Pastor, you ain't never talked like that. Oh, you like you were personally talking to me. And he said, well, thank you, my child, thank you. And guess what? And the Holy Spirit said, that was me. So the Holy Spirit, when you get some extra blessing sometime, you get to listen and you talk, Pastor, you ain't never talked like that. Whether you realize it or not, you were following the Holy Spirit that particular day. And I want you to know else. The Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, our journey again, our calling, our ministry, and our life. He'll tell you, if you ask him, he'll tell you who to marry, you know. If you ask him, you got a decision to make and you want to know, the Holy Spirit will tell you that. He might not tell you right then and there, but just keep on praying. Like every time somebody says, John, this is going to happen to you. John, guess what somebody's going to do for you? And I always say, yeah. And then I always go to the Lord and say, he always say, ask for three confirmations. I'm saying, my son, you're going to be a bishop. You're going to be a this and you're going to be a that. And you're going to leave this to, you know, you're in the wrong. Then you need this teaching profession, be a preacher. Or you need to leave this preaching thing and be a this. Well, yeah, really. Yeah, man, you can make a whole lot of money. And then the Lord look at you and say, look at that crazy man. Well, I've got him calling to be a preacher. And look at this man. I called him to be a doctor. He told me he wanted to be a preacher. I ain't calling to be no preacher. You know, kind of a thing. So the Holy Spirit is the most important person to aid us in our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey, and our calling, especially our calling in ministry, y'all. Our calling in ministry. So the Holy Spirit can communicate with us, and he can help us just as a person would when we speak or ask. Like what I asked him, I started not to share this, I shared. I was looking at my notes and stuff, you know, and reading three and four different Bibles and commentaries and all. I said, you know what, Holy Spirit? You will have to help me tonight. I guess the Holy Spirit said, you're crazy. I said, you know why I'm saying that? I got to have a talk to the Holy Spirit. I said, because I'm teaching about you. I'm talking about you. Now, you know you got to give me a special anointing. I don't know why I'm not sharing this. I ain't ready to put my business out in the street. So I'm down here on my knees, man, on the floor. Now, look at here, Holy Spirit. I'm talking about you tonight. And you got to bless me. You know what I would appreciate? If you give me a sense of humor. So, you know, I said, you know, I get crazy like my mama sometimes. I'm a man with a sense of humor. I love the joke. I said, so if you throw some little lies in there, I appreciate it because that's my personality. But don't you forget, I'm talking about you tonight. And I just pray that you would tell me what to say. And I want you to tell me some things about you that I don't even know. And because some stuff I got written down because I've been reading all afternoon, reading different Bibles and different books on the Holy Spirit, trying to put my thoughts together. I say, now, you're the one. So if I'm going to leave something out, I pray that you would just inspire me. I go, wow, where'd that come from? So I know where it comes from you, because you already done that a couple of times. I saw a couple of personal stuff that I didn't have in my little notes, you know. I said, thank you. So I told him to interrupt what I'm about to say and throw his thought. I said, let my mind be your mind. What I speak, feel free to step in. I'm telling him, feel free to step in and take over for a while. I don't care, you know, because he's talking about you. You, Holy Spirit, you my God. It's like Father, Jesus, my Father, my God, and Father God is my God, and you, my God, too, because you're God. And you know what else, Holy Spirit? I don't see you as an it, like the fittest out there. You are a he. I praise you, Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, I got to get off my knees, and I get kind of sore. So would you please tell me what to say, throw in the humor and anything else you got to go, because I'm talking about you. Praise the Lord. That's what I did. I just had about an hour. I was down on the floor about an hour, kidding around with the Holy Spirit, telling him he can take over whenever he wants. If he want to put a thought or joke into my mind, feel free, because I'm talking about him. Another thing he gave me, The Holy Spirit can communicate with us and help us just as a person would when we speak, ask. And I said, you remember that? I read that a few minutes ago in another book. So you know what that thing, that paragraph said, Holy Spirit? I said, it said you can communicate with me and help me when I need you to speak for me or when I need you to ask something I hadn't thought of, or even if it's a sense of humor. I hope you're not mad at me. I love you, Holy Spirit. That's the way I talk to him. See, we must understand that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And guess what? And he says, and I am equal with the Father and the Son, my son. I say, I hear you, Holy Spirit, I hear you. So one of the major aspects of God's nature is that he is a person, y'all. He's not it, like a lot of these religion theologies and stuff and teach that he's a it kind of a thing. He's not it. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person because what? He demonstrates a personality. Because he tells us what to do. He can laugh with us. He can joke with us. Teaches us and talk to us and everything else. Not only he's a person, but briefly we will understand his role, his functions, and nature of the Holy Spirit. When I get through talking about his roles, his functions, and his responsibilities in the ministry, I say, that don't sound like he's talking about it. He's talking about a person, and that's exactly what he is. If we embrace and appreciate the role and the function of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in hearing the voice of God, and that's what I'm working on because, folks, I just told you, I'm 80 years old. I never thought I'd be doing this at 80. You know, I retired 2 years ago, and I was a chaplain for the last 25 years, and then I was a hospital administrator for 30 years prior to that. So I'm doing what he wanted me to do because I said, hey, you know, I'm 80. What do you want me to do now? I thought I'd be going home and meet you by now, you know. And I kept, when are you going to take me? You know, the Lord didn't have to tell me that. He blessed me by saying, my son, you ain't leaving here until you're 97. Right. Now, for us as New Testament Christians, the most, I want you to remember this now, the most important thing about the Spirit is not his power, but that he is holy, his holy character, along with the manifestation of his holy character in lives of believers. He's a holy, holy, holy God. Another point of view. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Why is he called the Spirit of Truth? Because he is the Spirit of Jesus, who is the truth. They have the same Spirit. They got the same Spirit. And because you have that same Spirit, he testifies to the truth about Jesus. Everyone that is of the truth hears his voice. By that I mean we have to live right. We got to be true. Because, I mean, that's the hardest road, to hear his voice. I mean, here I am in my latter part of my 70s, that's when I started really getting it, to get the nudging of the Holy Spirit. And I realized, too, where I was weak, I was thinking, I was hoping the Holy Spirit said, now, Brother John, this is what I want you to do. Brother John, I want you to say this when you go to church. I want you to go to this house and visit this person. Say, you don't talk like that. Your thoughts be coming to your head. And that's where I am growing at least in past now. Because every time a thought coming to my head, I always thought it was me. Now, remember I told you that because you're thinking it don't necessarily mean it's you. It could be the Holy Spirit telling you what to say, what to do, or where to go, kind of a thing. It could be Jesus. Hey, Bubba, come here. I got something to talk to you. I'm saying, no, it don't work that way. All of a sudden, you're, why am I thinking this? Lord have mercy. I don't know if I should do this. People think I'm crazy if I say this. I ain't going there. That man crazy. I ain't going to do that. And you think you argue with your own thoughts, and that's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you what to do. Okay? Remember this. You don't remember nothing else. The Holy Spirit speaks through our thought pad more so than verbal. Hello, good morning. No. Thoughts will come into your spirit, especially when you see something that can embarrass you. That's him, boy. You need to go over there and tell that lady that I love her. And you'd be saying to yourself, why am I thinking that? I ain't going over there. Women think I'm crazy. I ain't going over there. That man think I'm crazy. They'll laugh at me. They think I'm a religious fanatic. And that was me. I'm always saying they think I'm a religious fanatic. But I've done some things in these last couple of months I never thought of doing. I go and say, that dude think I'm stupid. That guy might slap the you know what out of me. Then all of a sudden I say, wait a minute. Then I go, that ain't me. Because I just said they would make fun of me, they would disown me, they'd separate themselves from me, call me a religious fanatic, and such that, I'm not going to lose my friends. And then finally, the Holy Spirit, the Lord just had to, through my study, had to make me realize that some of those thoughts you think, especially the ones that think embarrass you, that's not you, that's me. I don't care what they think. I want them to know me. So thank you, Lord. So another thing I want to say, as we recognize and embrace the person, not the it of the Holy Spirit, we can tune in more frequently to what he is saying to us, because he said, now I can talk to you, now you can hear me. But remember this, whatever the devil tried to get you to do, to lie or whatever, don't do it, because you're hindering yourself from hearing God. I've seen pastors, now since I got into this ministry, and I know what church to go to because I know who can hear God and who can't. And sometimes those guys get to say, hey, we have a brother John in here. I go, my God, you know, and he can tell you things about himself. And I say, wow, but it's real. And the Holy Spirit, you start hearing the Holy Spirit when you live a righteous life. Don't hanky-panky, y'all, because y'all are ministers. Y'all want to say what God wants you to say. Y'all want to lay hands on who God tell you to lay hands on, kind of a thing. God wants you to minister on who he wants you to minister on. You go and lay hands on somebody to be healed in the name of Jesus. God, I mean, I want that person to be healed, because that person just might be just a churchgoer. And you don't know what they're doing after church hours, after party hours. But he might say, praise the Lord, Pastor. You know, and it might be one of the most lies, evil women or man that you ever heard, but they're going to front in front of you, you know. It's like a lot of people go to church, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But they ain't no praise no Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They're praising the devil, okay? Spirit is sent to comfort us, to give us advice, to encourage us, and lead believers. Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to be with you forever. Jesus, the one, gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I ain't got to tell you, Jesus, you know that's your calling. Holy Spirit, yeah, I know my calling. I got to go down there now. And by my power, I can possess each believer down there. But the soon as they hanky-panky, Jesus, I see this, my humor coming in. Jesus, the Holy Spirit saying, look at Jesus. I'm going down there, and I'm going to enter brother so-and-so, I'm in a pastor so-and-so, and lead them according to the will and the purpose of God. But the moment that joker start doing this hanky-panky and lying and everything, I'm leaving. That guy Jesus, I don't blame you. I wouldn't stay either. That's the humor in me, folks. All right. So the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All being theologians, we all know that the Holy Spirit is known as what? Our comforter and the spirit of truth. So I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to look that up. That's all I've seen a lot of times lately, but I really want to get into what you mean. I just figured as spirit of truth, that just means you can't lie. And you the comfort, that means you just provide some means for us to be comforted. So he led me. I said, where can I find? I want some details. And sure enough, I had the book in my cabinet all them years and never bothered, because I got, I don't know, about 70, 80 some of my books in there. Half of them I read and half of them I didn't. Half of them I bought because I liked the title. I never got around to reading it. But anyway, he drew me to this particular book, and it says, as we all know, the Holy Spirit is known as our comforter and the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth, he does the following. This is what he does as the spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit only comes to those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So if God didn't call you into the ministry, or you have advantages or whatever, and you're not doing anything that you're supposed to be doing in that ministry, you double-minded, you holy one day, and a liar, a thief, a whoremonger the next day, the Holy Spirit's gone, left you. So what do you do? I prayed about it. Yeah, you prayed about that. I was in vain. Your prayer didn't go no higher than ceiling. The Holy Spirit ain't going to tell you what to do, nothing like that, because you're in sin. The Holy Spirit can't fellowship with a sinner. The Holy Spirit change and anoint and increase his desire to know God. The Holy Spirit only comes to those who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You got to be a truthful person, and you don't be holy in front of somebody who you know really loves the Lord and really spiritual. And then when you go around the corner, you go back to your fleshly behavior. Hey man, what the heck you doing, man? I'll beat your butt, man, and so on. F you, man, all that stuff. See, the Holy Spirit gone. He don't hang in an unclean vessel. The Holy Spirit will not be the counselor of those who are indifferent to the faith in their commitment to the truth. In other words, they double-minded. 50% of the time, praise the Lord. Other half of the percent of the time, come here, baby. Come here, man. Hey, man, you just track your attention. I like some of this money over here. And so, and we caught other deacons who take up the collection. And whenever people put in like a $50 bill or $20 bill and didn't write a check, they would pocket the bill, a $50 bill or a $20 bill and stuff like that. We found that out. Because we, I don't want to stray too far. Now, I said, as the spirit of truth, you don't deal with us if we full of lies, okay? We got to be righteous, y'all. Okay. As our counselor, he helps what? And straighten us. And that's what I did tonight. I said, Lord, you know I got to teach him in a little while. I got about one more hour to go. And I'm down on my knees asking him for his anointing and everything else. I says, I want you to tell me what to say. I said, I don't want me to tell me what to say. I want you to tell me what to say. Have I told you? Yeah. So I know sometimes you say, John, you're crazy. But I says, because I don't want to teach nothing in error. I don't want to say something about you that's not true. I said, that's insulting. And moreover, I find this teaching pretty hard because I'm talking about what you do, what you like, what you don't like, and I don't have to lie on you. I ain't going to have you slap me. Slap me across the other side of the room. I said, joke, Holy Spirit. But that's what I love it, see? And so as I told him, I said, so the counsel helps and strengthens us, teaches the true course for our lives. He will tell us what the plan is for our life and everything like that, what Jesus was telling. Well, they're all in concert, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You know, they commune together. They all know what the other's talking. They're all equal to one another, you know. So he would teach us, tell us what to teach, tell us what to do in certain situations and stuff like that. He's our counselor. And boy, when that finally got into my head, every time I got to do something, I forgot, you're my counselor. What would you do in this situation, Holy Spirit? Now, sometimes I don't get an answer. I guess if I ask him that five times, I might get an answer two times. I guess you say, figure it out for yourself, boy. He's supposed to know the word kind of thing. I don't come running to you every time you ask me a question. He said, I'll come to you when there's something you really need to know and you haven't figured it out yet. And I'll tell you about that. I said, okay, Lord. So he helps strengthen us in our faith. He teaches us the true course of our lives. He comforts us in difficult situations, you know, like we're sad because this happened to us. I thought he loved me. I thought she loved me. Why did this happen to me? I did the best I can. So he would comfort you, and he'd tell you sometimes why it happened. Sometimes he'd let you figure it out, kind of a thing. He just give you little tips and bits like that, you know. He just comes back, okay, you asked me this question. Answer this. You don't work that way, you know. He may not ask you that same day. He may ask you two or three days later, okay. He intercedes for us. You know, he says, John, you need to pray about you weak in this area. You know, and sometimes he know we may have a weakness, some ignorance about a subject matter, ignorance about a scripture, something like that. We give the wrong interpretation, you know, kind of a thing. And then he would intercede, and he would talk to us and tell us what it is. Sometimes we got to go see somebody. We know that person want to kick our butt and everything else. He may go before you and minister that person, and the person you know, and he'd be ministered by the Holy Spirit. And then when you walk in the door, looks on the cushion, says, hey, brother, how you doing? You go, huh? So the Holy Spirit, I went ahead of you, kind of a thing. Not only he strengthens us in our weaknesses, not only does he teach us the course of our lives and his plan, because he said, don't you know I have a plan for your life, a plan not to calamity problems, but a plan to give you a future and a kind of a thing. So he, if you look in the Bible, you know, all through the New Testament, he was calling Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know. He called the prophets in the Old Testament and stuff like that. He got a calling for each one of us. But he can't call you until you are right. He don't say, I call you to be a pastor. He ain't gonna call you. You're out there doing everything but what a pastor do. He know you haven't been born again. You're not spiritual. You strictly worldly. He ain't going to call. He said, Lord, have mercy. And he may send other friends of yours who may know the Lord to minister to you so you can get born again, and he can tap you on the shoulder and say, boy, I'm glad you finally gave your life over to the Lord. I had a plan for your life way back 20 years ago. What makes me angry with myself is he had a car for me when I was 3 years old, and I didn't get saved. No, he had a car for me when I was in my 20s, and I didn't get saved until I was in my 40s. And the reason being was he did this to me. I was getting up in the morning to get ready to go to work, and just still in tune with the Holy Spirit. And when I got dressed, and when I stooped over to put on my shoes, I heard a voice say, "John, come up hither." And I'm going, "Huh, what did I just hear?" He said, "John, come up hither." I said, "What's a come up hither?" So I guess, those are you dummy. So he said, "Hither means he heard my thoughts." He said, "Hither means here." I go, "Here?" And then he said, "John, come up hither." And then I looked up, and I'm sitting on my bed, y'all, looking at the ceiling. And I said, "Oh, I'm trying to get smart now. How do I come up here? You can see a ceiling. I ain't got no airplane, nothing like that." He says, "All you have to do is just will it." I mean, he responded back immediately, "All you have to do is will it." And guess what? I said, "Okay, I will." And my spirit left my body, y'all, and I went right up through the ceiling. I said, "Oh, my God." I hold my head like I was going to bump my head, but I went right straight through the ceiling. And then when I got up in there, I saw two angels. Now, guess what? He did that because I had a problem dealing with believing in angels. Oh, man, no spiritual people. We're talking about a man, angel, so-and-so, a man. That's what they say in Sunday school. I don't believe in it. I ain't never seen one. And I went up there, and when I got up midair in the sky, I mean, when I'm airplanes, man, I saw two angels came swoop right in front of me. Tell me, "How you doing, Brother John?" I said, "Oh, my Lord, I don't believe it." Man, I had to slap myself, and my hand just went right through my face. "Oh, God." He says, "You're a spiritual being right now, son." So the Holy Spirit said, "We just won't meet up here because God wants you to believe that we are real." And, man, those guys, they looked like they were 7 feet, 8 feet tall. They had long golden hair. They had bracelets on each wrist. They had gold belts around them, had swords on the side of them, had wings. And they were flapping their wings like they're suspended, like they're threading the water, suspended right there. I said, "My God." And so this is nice. "You believe?" I go, "Yeah, I do. Nervous, but I don't know what." They said, "Okay, you can go back now." I look down at my house. My house looked like a pier at the end of a sentence. I say, "How am I going to get back in that little thing?" He says, "As you descend, your house starts going back to its normal size." I said, "How am I supposed to get back down there? I can't fly." And the angel said, "Oh, you have to do some will it, Brother John. We don't fly. Just like God doesn't violate your will, we don't either. You have to want to go back down." I said, "Okay, I will go back down." When I said that, I floated right on back down through the ceiling, right? And then I saw my body sitting on my bed, leaning over like tying my shoe. I said, "Oh, my God." And then my spirit entered my body again. And there's another scary number. I said, "Nobody else." I don't think I shared that with anybody for about 2 or 3 years because I didn't want nobody to think I was crazy. Okay, what else I want to say about the Holy Spirit? Oh, now, you know the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going there because right now it's 9:24, and that's supposed to stop at 10. You Holy Spirit also, his ministry, he gives us gifts, you know, because he wants us to be hearing him. And when he tells us to do something, we'll do it. He gives the church gifts. I'm going to go to the church here first. What did he do, Brother John? Well, the gifts he gave us, he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. That was the Holy Spirit anointing. And when he do, he's going around looking at different men and women. He said, "No, I can't use her. Can't use him." Yeah, there's a man who seeks after Jesus. There's a man who loves the Lord. And so he attested, say, "I call you to an apostle," like in the beginning of the New Testament, first century. In the Old Testament, "I call you to be a prophet. I call you, sister so-and-so, to be evangelist, brother so-and-so. Brother so-and-so, I call you to be a pastor." And you, "Honey, you don't believe it. I had a dream. You don't believe God called me to be a pastor? Are you mom or daddy? Do you know I believe?" He said, "Well, you be sure and you pray about it to get a confirmation here, okay? I want you to be a doctor. You tell me you want to be a pastor." "I ain't kidding, Dad." You know, that kind of a thing. So always ask for three confirmations. Somebody tell you, the Lord called you to be this. So he called some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, and some deacons, some administrators. I'm going to be a hospital, church administrator. Some he want us to be givers. Some people don't have, that's their ministry, encourages. When I was young, I realized, I look back, I'm always encouraging sick people, people who need some help. And my gift back in my young days, when I was 20 without even me, you know, having a personal relationship, I had the spirit of being encouraged. I always wanted to help somebody. They can ask me for a dime and I'll give them a dollar. That's how I was back in my young days. And he's a giver and he's a comforter. He's known as the comforter too. He comes to us in a time of need. Now, when you are a believer, I'm talking about, you don't have to just be a pastor, a priest, a chaplain, you can just be a sold-out believer in God. And he gives all his beliefs. I say all, not just pastor, not just teacher, but all, A-double-L. He gives them the gift, the message of wisdom. And that's when a friend of yours, a congregation member or something, comes to you with a problem, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. You tell you exactly. Even that person may kind of lie a little bit. My problem is this, that could you help me? They don't want to tell everything about you because they may not trust you. So what happened is the Holy Spirit would reveal to you how you can help that person. He would give you a message of wisdom. That's what comes here. Pastor, what do you think I should do? Sister so-and-so, what do you think I should do? Brother pastor, deacon, so what should I do? And then you say, well, let's pray about it. You know, well, I'll tell you what you need to do. No, don't go there. They say, well, let's pray about it, okay? Okay. But don't say, let's pray about it, and say, bye. Pray about it. But sometimes I have to say bye, because the Lord may not give you the proper response. And say, I'm praying about it, and when the Lord told me, I'll tell you. The Lord may tell you before he tell me. Okay, pastor. So he give us a word of wisdom. You'll know what to say when that congregation member walk up to you, pastor, I don't know what to do about this situation. My job just happened. My husband's doing this. My wife is doing this. My children's doing this. My children are doing that. And the pastor with the gift of wisdom would tell that person what to do by the means of the Holy Spirit. And the message of knowledge, that same thing, knowledge, God would tell you things that you don't even know. So I didn't even go to school for that, and I know that. Just like Brother Emmett. When he teaches his messages, he hadn't finished college. God, tell him what to say. Every sermon since I met the young man, from the time he started working under me as my chaplain assistant, which I had no business doing because he'd never been to seminary, but I saw God use the young man. You ask him what the scripture says. He'll tell you what the scripture says. Where can I find this? He'll tell you where it says. And every sermon, so most of the time he'd call me and tell him, Brother John, what? I said, do you know, I got 5 more minutes before I was supposed to teach the sermon. I said, yeah, what's the problem? I don't know what to say. He haven't told me yet. I go, wow. And he'd been doing that for 14 years, y'all. He never sat down for an hour, 2 hours Monday, 2 hours Tuesday, 2 hours Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to have his whole sermon. God would give it to him in a couple of minutes. Half 99% of the time when he'd be teaching him, he don't know what he's going to say until he get up there and he'd say, welcome to, and then he'd tell you where you are and who he is. And then he just flow like he got 2,000 degrees, doctor degrees. Because guess what? The Lord is in the Holy. Sometimes he said, John, sometimes I don't know which one talking about. What do you mean? He said, in my left ear, that's the Holy Spirit. My right ear, that's the Lord. He said, sometimes I hear, say this, say that, say this, say that. In my right ear, I know that's the Lord. But when I hear, say this, say that in my left, and then I know that's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they alternate. I said, man, that's some strange hearing. Do you know that? But I know because I witnessed it myself. I asked him things I know he don't know because he ain't never been to seminary. But he like a whippersnapper, he'd tell you where it is. And when he's teaching, the guy said, are you sure that? He said, he'll give you 10, he'll run off 10, 15 scriptures, whoop, just like that, out of his head. The Holy Spirit would be telling him what to say. That's what he was doing for the last 14 years. The man, he never had to write no sermons. He gets there every time he teaches, I don't care if it's Monday night, Tuesday night, he don't know what he's going to say until about 5 or 10 minutes. So he said, oh, by the way, brother, my child, your sermon's going to be on so-and-so-and-so. He called him to him, I don't know nothing about that. What am I doing? Now, you've been doing this for about 2 or 3 years now. You know he's going to tell you what to say. It's almost like he's standing behind a curtain telling you what to say. He said, oh, yeah, okay, thank you. And then I listen to him, I tune it, and he'd be flowing like he got 50 doctor degrees because the Holy Spirit, that's the connection that he has with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives us a message of wisdom, and a gift of faith. Why don't you go and pray that person to be healed? Oh, not me. She said, well, you're supposed to be a deacon. You're not me, because the person may not get healed. I look like a fool, you know. I said, well, everybody don't get healed instantly. Somebody get healed the next week or maybe a couple of days later. You know, I ain't going to embarrass myself. He supposed to be a pastor, you know, that kind of thing. But this is a different kind of faith I'm talking about. This kind of faith is, person go and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And that person healed as soon as he say, in Jesus' name. Open these blind eyes, Father, in the name of Jesus. You going over there and pray for that blind man? Are you crazy? Oh, you've been here watching, you've been talking, be healed in the name of Jesus? Well, Brother John, I didn't say be healed now. It could be later, it could be next week. That's what I'm saying, my prayer was there. I said, no, you pray. That person come up to be healed now. He ain't come no later. And some say, oh, man, please step aside. You go up there, the ones that know personally, they can lay hands on you, not to show off. But they want to do it if the Lord says, Lord, do you want that person to check with the Lord first? Say, yes, my child. They go up and say, thus says the Lord God. open your eyes and be healed in the name of Jesus, and the person can see. I've seen people who's crippled can walk. That's because the path that pastor have more than just a safe faith. The faith I got is I believe in Jesus. I'm talking about the faith that all the natural happened, like when Moses stuck that staff in the water and that water turned to blood. That was faith, y'all. That's not saving faith. that's the grace, the anointing faith. So, and he gives some the faith. He gives some believers the gift of healing, some the gift of miracles, some the gift of prophecy. He gives some distinction between the spirits and somebody. You know what the Lord told me what you should do or what you be? Let me tell you. And I'm sitting there going, shut up, you demon, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Because he think that's his flesh, think that's him. And that's a demonic spirit telling him what to say. If not a demonic spirit, that's his flesh. Because he knows you personally. Instead of saying, I think you should be, you can call the deuce, so and thus said the Lord. You need to do this. He's speaking from his flesh. So anybody tell you the Lord said do this, the Lord said do that? You ask the Lord for three confirmations. Three, y'all. Three. Not one, two, three. Okay? Because every time somebody prophesied on me, you know, Lord told me you're going to do this. Lord told me you're going to do this. I said, thank you. Praise the Lord. Then I go and ask the Lord. Lord said, no, that's a lie. That wasn't me. Okay? So he gave the gift of healing, miracles, prophecy. That's when you get prophesied. You know, the Lord says this. And you prophesy over that person. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed within 3 days. You know, cause that person, I ain't going to tell that person that because they don't get that blessing. I look like a fool, and they probably going to kill me for lying to them. So you that's when you get a straight message right from the Holy Spirit or Jesus himself and say, go do this. Go tell this person that. Tell this person this. That kind of thing. That's what prophecy does. Then you other last two, the Holy Spirit gives you to speak in your tongues. And unfortunately, even up to this day, 2020, pastors, evangelists, friends, buddies still talking about, you fool, haven't you heard? We have his written word. We have, but the Holy Spirit protected me from that lie. From that false teacher. And then sometimes I can be in a cab. If I don't, and I be praying to the Lord, you know, I be going to Puerto Rico on a personnel trip or something like that. I be sitting in the back. That's the lead in the prayer. I think I just pray while he's driving. I said, when we get there to the base or something? Or we be there 30 minutes, okay. And I'd be going, shikiri and they cut the paraso, calapari and they shikiri and they cut the paraso. And the guy said, sir, hey, mi amigo, como está, pasa con usted. I go, well, I know what you said. You said, what's with you, but I don't know the rest of it. He said, but I thought you were Puerto Rican. I mean, you brown skin like Puerto Rico. We Puerto Ricans, real light. We brown skin. We dark skin. We got all complexion like African American. I said, yeah, I know. He said, you sure you're not Spanish? I said, no, I'm African American. So he said, well, you just got to speak in fluent Spanish. I said, yeah, what'd I say? He said, oh, Jesus, I thank you for your blessing. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the job, Lord, and I just give you all. He said, you're worshiping the Lord. I said, I didn't know what I was saying. I was going, shikiri, and I got the butter, so he said, there you go again. You're saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, I didn't know. So he gave us a gift. So that's not there. The devil wants you not to accept, especially all those gifts. He don't want you to accept the gift of tongues. You know why? Because when we speaking to somebody in tongues, you speaking, the Holy Spirit speaking through you. It ain't you, your mind ain't got a doggone thing to do with it. Not a thing. You're going, let me pray for you, honey. Pray with me, Pastor. Okay, give me a hand. And you be going, Eshekeriana, Kalahakita, Boro Yadikete, Shikiriane, Hashakaline, Keriata Parasokolina, Kati, Shikirianta, Kabalama, Kulumiate, Shikirianda. And the girl started crying and everything else. And she said, do you know what you did? I said, yeah, I prayed. And I had the Holy Spirit to pray for you because I don't know what your problems are. And you might have some secret problems. And you asked me to pray for you. Well, the Holy Spirit knows what's wrong with you. So you know what I was doing? I let the Holy Spirit pray. When I'm praying in the tongue, it ain't me. The Holy Spirit is using my vocal cords and my tongue and my mouth. And he is praying for you. He said, those are exactly my problems. I'm Brother John. I said, but you don't know. He said, you were praying tongues and you were praying in my language. I speak two languages. I speak Italian as well as English. That's what I was speaking in. Yeah, Brother John. I said, Lord have mercy. Okay, so the Holy Spirit gives each believer a gift. Some have more than one gift, but I want you to remember that. When you really, really, really love the Lord and you really not lordy on Sunday and devilish Monday through Saturday, you never hear the God. And you'll never get the gift of tongues. He don't give nobody the gift of tongues in an unclean vessel. I've been trying. I don't know why I've been trying to speak in tongues, but I don't believe in that. You know, there you go. I don't believe in that. But, I mean, I called hell myself because it took me, I asked the Lord for it for about a year or two, and then finally, I guess the Lord said, okay, I'm time for it. And put the thought in my head, why don't you call your sister? I didn't know my sister had left that Methodist church and joined a non-denominational church, and they believed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When I told that, that's when I went home. And she introduced me to a pastor, and the pastor said, go down there and just thank the Lord. And I thank you for it, and I started speaking in tongues. Another thing I want to say, and then I'm getting some specifics. I have, the Holy Spirit lives within the child of God in order to what? Lead him or her to think, speak, in accordance to God's word. Remember that. That's what he does. And that's why we have to be in tune. And we can't hear him, even in thoughts. If we're not living right, you're still going to be hanging. I believe the Lord telling this, and that's your flesh, you know, kind of a thing. So if you really want to hear from Jesus, you want to hear from the Holy Spirit, give him all you got. Give him everything, your mind, your love, your spirit, everything. And you find out that you have a personal relationship you never thought of. And remember this too, he leads primarily by promptings. And I find out too, most of the prompts he gives me, I don't want to do because I think it makes me look like a fool, you know, kind of a thing. Sometimes, because of time, I won't go into a bunch of testimony. I'll just say, the main thing I think he want me to do when he finally persuaded me to go in and say this thing to the person, Brother John, you sure blessed me. I go, huh? I was thinking the person cussed me out. What? I just said this to you. I need to hear that, you know, because I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I may be wrong or maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what to think. And here you come, answering the Lord's presence. I said, I thought you'd be done kicking my butt, tell me you don't want to be my friend no more. No, I mean, you were answered to the Lord. I said, wow. Or somebody, when I was a hospital chap, told me, Lord, I don't know what to be saved. Well, what I need to do, here I am 70 years old, 80-something years old, and I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven or not. And then, boom, the Lord sent me in there. And I tell a person what their name is or what their problem was. And then they go, did I somebody saved? And they go, I hope so. And then God says, see? And God would tell me who's going to die when I was in the hospital. And I go, and every time I ask them, are you saved? Are you ready to go to be with the Lord? If the Lord called you now. And they all say, I hope so. And I say, that's me and you ain't saved. What you mean, Mr. Chaplain? Then I tell them, says, you're supposed to accept him as your personal Lord. And say, but I joined the church. I said, I didn't ask you when you joined the church. I asked him, when did you accept the Lord? He told me, you funny, chap, you funny. I said, well, that's my mama's personality. But have you? She said, no, I joined the church. The pastor said, welcome into the church of God. You're now a member of God's family. I said, you became a member of the church, not God's family. You become a member of God's family when you accept Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior. The church don't see you. Jesus went down on the cross. Not Baptist, not Catholic, not Methodist, not Houdini, not Muslim. It was Jesus who died on the cross. That's the one who saved you. You got to accept him. I didn't know that. I thought because I was in the church now for 40 years. I sang in the choir 20-something years. I teach Sunday school. I said, you just tell me what you were doing in the church. You just tell me when you got saved. And then they hugged me. Said, come here, Sonny. Let me give you a hug. And maybe 3 out of 7 people who I hugged after leaving to the Lord, they would die in my arms. They said, come here, Sonny. Be grandma in their 67 age. Come here, Sonny. Let me hug you. God bless you. I really feel different. I said, because the Holy Spirit just took possession of your body and you accepted Jesus. When you did that, that's when the Holy Spirit took in residence. He said, come here, Sonny. She hugged me. Then she died in my arms. And then I started crying. And then I lay back down on the bed. And then the doctor nurse said, we heard you, Brother John. I'm Chaplain John. That was really nice. The woman going to be with the Lord. And that's what happened on many occasions where I'd be walking the floor. I got about, 20 more minutes? What else I want to say? The Holy Spirit prompts us to do different things. He's always in harmony with the Scripture when he tells you to do something. You know, I wonder if that's in the Bible. Everything the Holy Spirit tells us, that's in the Bible. The Holy Spirit, the one that wrote the Bible, gave it to John, you know. He also gives us directions for our life. And in our favor, sometimes if an evil desire comes in our hearts, he opposed that sinful desire. He said, one minute you order this, and then you go, heck no, I ain't going to hell for that. Not me. See, the Holy Spirit done jumped in this quick. Are you looking at, you may see something, I don't know what it is, could be something that tempts you to cause you to maybe want to backslide for a second or for a day. And then another comes and say, oh, no, I don't think I'm supposed to. No. Because God may be looking. No, I know the Holy Spirit is in me. And see, that's when the Holy Spirit steps in, see. The Holy Spirit opposes sinful desires. He knows what your desires are. You don't have to say, my desire is this and that, y'all. And he said, no. He knows what your desires are. And he would change that desire. You're thinking opposite thought comes. Why did I think that? And it's like sometimes thought come in, and I catch and I say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. I ain't going that way. I'm a child of God. Haven't you heard? You follow me around everywhere trying to get some of your demons to get me to backslide. You know where you're going. Why don't you go ahead on to hell right now and save us a lot of time with you? I talk to the devil sometimes, especially when an evil thought comes, like I want to get mad, get revenge on somebody who to me, he cussed me out of something and I had nothing to do with it, you know. And I want to say, you, boy, and something, So, okay. And he's concerned about making sure they walk his way. He exhorts us to persevere in our faith, because sometimes we want to give up and everything. Go, man, this is hard. I can't do this no more. I can't do that no more kind of thing. Well, guess what? He'll get out of mind straight. The Spirit also do what? The Spirit promptings come by. How can I know. The Holy Spirit tell me this. This is what you can do. The Spirit prompts us by what? Reading God's Word. Sometimes we don't know if we should do a certain thing or not. We just read the Bible and go, hey, that's in the Word. Before you know it, you say, yeah, I can do that. Boom. And you go and do it. You might read a script about minister to the sick of the week and so on. And you were having some second thoughts about going to the hospital, seeing so on, a call, a friend of yours up to pray for him. I ain't got time for that, please. You know. And then all of a sudden that thought hits you, and you, hey, you know what I think I should. So the Holy Spirit prompts us into reading the Bible. He prompts us in praying and fasting sometimes, you know. Like just the other day, he said, thought about fasting. Oh, and tonight, I was sitting here reading my Bible and looking at all the little notes. I'm looking at all them several books I was reading and everything, taking little notes and stuff. And then something say, why don't you pray? You know what I'm saying? I did. I said, Father, you know I'm going to teach tonight. Please help me. I ask that you would help me through the Holy Spirit as I'm teaching by him. You put the thoughts into my mind. You tell me what to say. If you want to take over. You know, I'll just listen to you while you're talking through my mouth. Anything. But I realized that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to pray. So I got out. That's why, like I told you earlier, I got out of the chair because I was reading my notes and everything and praying. And before I know it, he said, pray. I went over there on the floor and lied out there on the floor in the dining room on the floor on the carpet and prayed for about 30 minutes asking him to inspire me. That give me the thoughts that would come into my mind be his, not John Durst's mind, but his mind. That's what I did. I prayed for 30 minutes. I mean, for that time, but I was praying all week. All right. And another way the Spirit can prompt us and help us to do things, not only he intersect, he give us Christian parents and trusting spiritual leaders. That's how he can encourage us, help us to sit under real pastors. Not pastors or ministers or friends who's good one day and not the other day. Because you got your good and your bad in every aspect of life. Every pastor is not holy. Every bus driver, every teacher is not righteous. And everybody got their little hidden agenda, you know. So you got the bad and the good. You got the good policemen and you got the bad policemen going around killing all these young men and black folks. So what else? I want to emphasize two important facts. One is our bodies are destined by God to be temples of the Holy Spirit. You got to remember that. We're meant to be temples of the Holy Spirit. Another one I got. I have some, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, we all know that. Christians, once we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. And so the Holy Spirit is in us. And we are required to offer, yield our bodies to the Lord, dedicate our bodies to the Lord. That was just an overview, y'all. I got 15 minutes to tell you what I want to get to close out with. I got 15 more minutes. Let me say, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to give gifts to all the believers, not all mankind. He wish he could, but just to believers. the gifts, the Holy Spirit. This is what he gives to the church. He even gives not only people gifts, but he gives the gifts, the church to the gifts. One is an apostle. I'm not, because I'll really burn up some time if I tell you what he's going to do. So by your church experience, you know what they do. He gives the church apostles. He gives some prophets. He gives some evangelists. He gives some pastors in other places they call elders. He gives us teachers, Sunday school teachers, and teachers in Christian schools, high school, Christian colleges, and so forth. He gives the church deacons. He gives the church and the pastor helpers to help out. And then those are gifted for a variety of different helper deeds in the church, helpers. Then you got administrators. Those gifts to guide our oversee the various activities of the church. In other words, you're the administrator. If you sometimes pastors have an administrator. He does all the preaching, but he has an administrator in his office, run the business office for him, everything else. So he gives us helpers, he gives us administrators, he gives the church. This is what he gives the church. He gives encouragement. You know, you got some ladies in that church and in that church morning. When he gets to talk to you, can go and walk in there and want to commit suicide, and by the time that person walk over there to you and talk to you, you'd be thinking you're the richest man in the world. So he gives some people in the church the gift of encourager. Then you got some people who God gives the gift of a giver. Every time you turn around, they're giving money to something. Leave it to this charity, that charity, this charity. Somebody in the church might be talking to somebody, honey, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent, so and so. And, you know, and they laid me off and so on, so on, so on. And then that person said, honey, I heard what you're saying to the person. You really? Yes, he said, here's $100, here's $200 to buy you kids and food. Thank you, they said. And who are you? I said, I'm just a fellow member like you. Preacher, God bless you. So he gives some helpers, some administrators, some are encouragers, some are givers, and some are comforters. That's my gift was comforter. A person can almost, God, I don't know, this is my personality. The person can be, want to commit suicide or something. And God will lead me to talk to somebody. And when I get through with a person, and especially when in the hospital, got all these different affliction, sickness, and everything else. And I said, be careful, John, because you got breast cancer, uterus cancer. And I don't know what I'm going to say. I go in there and being led by the Holy Spirit. Do you know when I get ready to leave, that person sit up in the bed and hug me and thank you with a big smile on their face. And I walk in, the idea wanted to commit suicide. So God, I have the spirit of comforter. That's what he gave me. So again, to the church, he gives some apostles. He gives some prophets. He gives some evangelists. He gives some pastors. The Holy Spirit gives some teachers. He gives some deacons, he gives some helpers, some administrators, some encouragers, some givers, and some as comforters. And then that was just for the church, so the church can keep on going, y'all. Guess what? He also deals with the believers. That was just the gift of the church. Now, with respect to the believers, he says, come here, Mary, come here, John. I'm going to give you a gift, you and the church, and this is how you can assist the pastor. I'm going to give you the gift of, mostly the pastor. The pastor had the message of wisdom. But wisdom just means an utterance from the Holy Spirit, applying God's word of wisdom to a specific situation. So a husband, a deacon, a chaplain, a godly man in the church can be praying for somebody, and God will tell that person, what this? Would you pray for me? I don't understand why this happened to me. And in the fellowship with the man, he said, "Did you know what, honey? Let's pray about it." You know, the Lord tell me. The Lord says, "Your problem is this. I think how you can solve this problem." I was thinking about that, but I know. Thank you, doctor. I thank you, deacon. I thank you, brother. So and so and so. God would give a person the gift of wisdom. Give another person a message of knowledge. When I say a message of knowledge, that means in utterance from the Holy Spirit, revealing knowledge about people, about circumstances, and biblical truth. You know, I believe the Bible saying that no, you're taking it out of interpretation. And the Lord will tell you, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say to that person, give you some knowledge about that person, about the situation of that thing. And then some people have the gift of faith. I'm not talking about saving faith. God gives some people the gift of faith. But they can walk up to you, honey, how long you had this pain? How long this happened to you? Come here, girl. And he lay hands on her and say, Lord Jesus, I got the faith to know that you love this person. And I know that you can heal. And I know you don't heal some people 100 years, no, 30 weeks, 12 weeks. I believe you can heal right now, Lord Jesus. I'm not telling you what to do, Lord Jesus. I just have the faith that you can do it. You can do it. And he lay hands on that person and they get through, the person's healed. and they step out of faith because they leave being led by the Holy Spirit. They may not know it's time. When they go with faith, knowing this person got this disease, and they lay hands on them, they can catch it themselves, or they look like a fool. Well, those person walking and say, honey, you ain't wounded no more. In the name of Jesus, that person following the Spirit. But they have the faith. The Holy Spirit might say, go and pray for that person. I'm healing right now. That's how it works. And, you know, they think they're their thoughts when it's the Holy Spirit's thoughts. See, that's why we have to distinguish between who's thinking this, who's saying this. My God, what is 10 minutes to already? All right. He give us, believers, the gift of faith, the gift of healing. You don't have to be a pastor. You can be a brother, sister, Lord, lay hands on one of your friends and that person be healed. They call you up next day and say, guess what, honey? I woke up this morning, that thing's gone. You know, kind of a thing. He give us the gift of miraculous powers. He give us the gift of prophecy. You know what the Lord said to you, what you need to do? You know what the Lord told me to tell you? How do you know that? All that what you just said to me is true. Well, the Holy Spirit told me to say that. That's the gift of prophecy. And that's why the Holy Spirit don't want you to learn tongues. Because every time you speak in tongues, you is not you no more. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through your tongues. The Holy Spirit might say, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. And somebody might say, pray for me, Brother John. I said, give me your hand. And sometimes I speak in English, and when I run out of what I want to say, what I need to say, and I say, okay, Holy Spirit, you take over. And he said, who are you talking to? I said, Holy Spirit, okay. And the chick might start shaking. Holy Spirit is working on that child, or that woman, or that man. And then we have the gift of distinguishing between spirits. He gives some people the gift of tongues. When somebody tells you to do something or somebody do something, say, ain't nothing but devil. That person told you what that person doing, being led by the devil. God ain't said that. Ain't nothing but the devil using her, devil using him, telling him, hey, baby, you know, always attracted to you, you know. Why don't you come see me sometime? So. Oh, yeah. And see if you got the gift of discernment. Holy Spirit say, she trying to seduce you, man. Don't you go there. You know, kind of thing. And then the Holy Spirit gives the gift of speaking in tongues. That's what one of his main job is to. When I say, okay, I believe, Lord Jesus, just the pastor who stands behind me at my sister's church says, tell me you receive and you believe. I say, okay, Lord, I never rejected it. I just had some doubts about it, but I never know for sure. So I believe that gift of tongues are for us today. I believe that the gift of tongues is the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through my mouth in Jesus' name. I received it by faith. And when I said it, I went, I couldn't believe I was speaking in tongues about 2 days. Couldn't speak in English hardly no more. I had to keep my mouth shut because every time I opened it, I started speaking in tongues. I said, good morning, Brother John. I said, so he gives the church gifts like all the different positions. He gives the believers gifts in the church and stuff like that. I got about five more minutes. What else do I want to say? Let's see. Oh, yeah. I like to close out with this. All right, here we go. I'm going to tell you about the works of the Holy Spirit and also the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit in relation to what it got to do with Jesus Christ, okay? What is his relation with Jesus Christ? Number one, Jesus was conceived and married, by the Holy Spirit, right? Number two, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit when he laid hands and stuff, because, you know, he laid aside all his God characteristics and stuff. The Holy Spirit blessed him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus preaching the Spirit. Every time he said, I only say what God tells me to say. I only do what the Lord. And I go, you know what? That just hit me in my later years. When he starts talking and ministering to the people, he's repeating what God was telling him what to say. He wasn't coming out of his own mind. Well, let me tell you, I'm Jesus the Christ, you know. I'm the Son of God. Let me tell you what to say. He was repeating what the Holy Spirit was telling him. I was shocked. God showed me several scriptures. I only do what the Spirit tells me to do. My father tells me to do. I only say, you know, I was thinking what was happening is he was, his spirit must be was up there in heaven looking at what God said for him to do. But God was speaking to him. His father was speaking to him. He said, I only say. He said, sometimes he said, I only say what my father told me what to say. He preached in the Spirit. Every time he preached, he said he preached in the Spirit. When he preached in the Spirit, that means every time he preached to the congregation, to those Jews and the rest of them, he was saying what the Holy Spirit was telling him what to say. He wasn't even coming out of his mind. He didn't write no sermon thing. What he said. He was repeating what the Holy Spirit was telling him what to say. I said, wow, let's learn that in my later years. He performed miracles by the Holy Spirit. Because, you remember, he gave up all that power, that godly characteristics that he had. He was a mere man now. But when he did all those miracles and everything else, he said, I perform those miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. What else? He baptized believers in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would baptize you. God said, I'm going to baptize you in the name of Jesus. And then when they get baptized, and then that's when the Holy Spirit baptized you by his personal possession into your spirit. The Holy Spirit, in relation to Jesus Christ, he promised the Holy Spirit as the counselor. That's what he did with Jesus. What else he did? I don't think. He raised from the dead by the Spirit. When Jesus laid hand on those who were brought back to life, he was helping Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit that raised that person from the dead. Because remember, he gave up all those godly powers, but he was a man of God. But he was doing what the Holy Spirit, he wasn't doing it because he thought it was the right thing to do. He was doing it because the Holy Spirit was telling him what to do. Pass Jesus, would you pass me? And the Spirit said, pray for him. And then in the name of Jesus, and that Holy Spirit would do the work. He was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit, right? He was raised from the dead. All right, what else? That was dealing with Jesus. And he received the Spirit from the Father. He poured out the Spirit upon believers, and the believers need the baptism and the Holy Spirit and all this other kind of stuff. He poured out the Spirit upon believers. And they lay hands and they receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and lay hands on them when they be baptized and stuff like that. We lay hands on them. That was the Holy Spirit manifesting what he's praying about. It was the Holy Spirit doing it. And then you say, what did the Holy Spirit do in relation to the church? Well, what did the Holy Spirit do for the church? Speaks to the church. He creates fellowship with the church. He unites the church. He gives the gifts to the church, a different ministry in the church, and plus the people he gives some of the gifts of healing, some of the gifts of prayer, some of the gifts of this. And he did all that the Holy Spirit did. That's his gifts to the church, his relation to the church. He appoints leaders to the church. Most of your men and workers in the church are men and women who are following the Spirit of God. God called them and they're following his instructions and his directions, his plan. So he gave, no matter what the person doing in that church, the Holy Spirit gave that person that job. That's the Holy Spirit in relation to the church. He empowers the preachers. He's the one that tell the preacher what to say. Give the preacher strength to deal with all the death that he has sometimes, but all the sick folks sometimes, all the visitation he got to make and everything else. The Holy Spirit is working through that preacher. That's him and the preacher and the Holy Spirit working hand by hand, or side by side. Then you got pastor not to teach error. You know, some who in the flesh, but I believe this. I know what that Bible says, but I believe this, you know. Especially the part about tongue acts. He says his tongue has, it says tongues will. Then he, in relation to the church, he the one that glorified Jesus with the church. When you go to some church, boy, people just praising the Lord and thanking the Lord and everything else. That's the Holy Spirit moving that church. Now, how do the Holy Spirit deal with believers? Listen at this, y'all. He lives in every believer. He convicts us of sin when we do something wrong. He regenerates us, causes us to be born again. He imparts love to us. I didn't know God loved me that much. See, the Holy Spirit revealing the love of God for you. He makes us realize that God is our Heavenly Father. He enables us to say, if you don't know the Lord, you ain't got no relationship. Ain't nobody can say Jesus Lord. Only believers can say that. A non-believer can't walk up and tell me Jesus Lord. We can't do that. A non-believer can't do that for $1 million in the world. The Holy Spirit reveals us to Christ, that who he really is, that he wasn't just a holy man, a righteous man, but he was the Son of God. The Holy Spirit brought that truth to our spirit, and that's why we receive him and want to do the works of God. He reveals Christ to us. He reveals God's truth to us, and he baptizes us in the body of Christ. Now, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is doing it, okay? He gives us power and boldness to witness to them. I don't want to do that. They're going to make fun of me. But the person who's filled with the Holy Spirit, the child, come on here. And he goes there and minister and witness to that person. And it's the Holy Spirit, but with respect to believers, he went and gives us gifts. I talked about those gifts, remember? About the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of healing, the gift of faith, and so forth. He gives us visions and prophecy. And sometimes the pastor says, honey, that's something I need to tell you. I hope it's the Lord, but I'm pretty sure it is. Honey, you in this trouble, you need to do this and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. How did you know that? Well, pastor just pops out of a person because he's telling that person what the Lord is telling him what to say. Sometimes the pastor thinks it's his own thoughts when it's the Holy Spirit speaking through the pastor. And then it's the Holy Spirit that comfort and encourage us. He helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit help us to grieve when we sin, not to feel comfortable. And then the last one I got, the Holy Spirit in relation to sinners. Guess what the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit relates to sinners and run through. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of our sins, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit commissioned believers to proclaim the gospel to sinners. In other words, he does three things. The Holy Spirit convicts sinners of their, that they need to be righteous. They need to get right with the Lord. Okay? And then also, he commissioned believers to proclaim the gospel to sinners. And so he commissioned you, me, and everybody else who we know in the neighborhood, the family members who are not saved. He stir us up to go witness to that husband or that wife or that child or that uncle or aunt about the salvation of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit leading you to witness to your family members. Then he also, when you're doing something wrong, about to do something wrong, he convicts us. So it's, that's how he deals with the sinners. Say, oh, man, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I think that. I used to do that, but now I get a problem when I steal. Now I get a problem when I shop this now. And I get a problem when I do this now. I just don't feel like doing that no more. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with the sinner. And then he commissioned believers to proclaim the gospels. In other words, he might call you or me to minister to somebody you know in the family or whatever, the gospel. That's how he works with sinners. He would put it on somebody's heart, spirit, to go talk to that person about the Lord. He said, I don't know why I keep doing it. I can't stop thinking. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's his job. He is commissioning you to speak to unbelievers. And then the last one, he reveals the saving truth of the gospel. You know, and a lot of people just don't know about the gospel. Just think that you go to church, tithe and all this stuff, when the Holy Spirit has you church. It's more than that. Accepting Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior, is accepting, getting baptized, accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and asking to forgive you of all your sins and recognize him as the Son of God. Well, it's 10:04. My time is up, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you, and I enjoyed it. And it came across like I didn't know him, ask him to take over. He sure did, because there's a lot of things I said that I ain't even thought of. God bless you, and have a good night. Over and out. Praise the Lord.